Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Well, certainly no one would argue with the idea that 2008 has been a stressful year. And if you're just talking about economic news, stress has, I think been a story since last March when things really started to tank in the subprime.
Or even before that for some people.
Well, I mean, whether you're talking about your own mortgage or your investments or, you know, this stress is increasingly trackable in the brain because brain science is improving. And our ability to track phenomena in the brain means we can actually see the stress and psychological consequences of things even as large as and intractable as, a financial meltdown. And joining us to talk about how brain science and economics might actually come together in some way is Dr. Gregory Burns, is director of the Center for Neuropolicy at Emory University, and he joins us from Atlanta. Dr. Burns, thanks for being a part of the program.
Great to be here.
How do you track economic stress in the brain, and what might we theorize about the consequences for people's brains in this crazy economic meltdown?
Great question. The way we do this is part of a new field called neuroeconomics, which is about 4 or 5 years old. And the basic technology is we have people go inside an MRI scanner and have them make actual decision-making tasks while we scan their brains. And essentially what we do is track blood flow changes and see exactly which parts of the brain are changing activity as a person makes decisions. And so it's kind of like decoding the genome, except that's actually much more difficult. It's like decoding how the brain works.
And scientifically, it's interesting to know about this stuff, but does it suggest any approaches that we might take to, say, a job interview or, you know, hearing our boss tell us that, you know, goodbye, you know, we can't use you anymore?
I think it does. I think we're just at the beginning of that. So there's a couple of theories about how we make decisions. And one of the threads that's emerging out of the field of neuroeconomics is that specific circuits in the brain that we use for, say, gauging the pleasure that we expect to get out of something, or conversely, the amount of pain or loss that we anticipate, are actually the same types of circuits that are used in different things. It turns out the brain probably evolved to process all sorts of stimuli in the environment, both good and bad, that are typically associated with essentially primary things like food and drink, but also pain. And so when it comes to stress and anxiety and fear, these functions actually co-opt parts of the brain that function in terms of pain. So when you're fearful or anxious, it's literally using the same parts of the brain that you would use when you're afraid of, you know, pricking your finger on a needle.
Or wolves or bears and dinosaurs and stuff.
Well, I remind you that people weren't around when dinosaurs walked the earth.
My kids will tell me that when I get
there. Just in terms of measuring this, Dr. Burns, it's interesting that you see survey and study after survey and study showing that women in this economic environment tend to be more stressed out about money issues than men. So when you're taking a look at the brain and how it's being affected by the current situation, women really have women's brains might tell you more.
It's possible, although interestingly, you know, when we start peering inside the brain, it's really difficult to tell the difference between a male and a female brain.
Huh.
And, you know, as I point out, you don't need a brain scan to tell the difference. The difference between genders and even age-related effects is swamped by differences between individuals. So one thing that we actually see is when people make economic decisions and there's the possibility of losing money, that we see a lot of activity in parts of the brain associated with pain. And one thing that we know about the pain system of the brain is that it's like the brain simulates it in advance. So it turns out that when you step on a tack, you see all sorts of things lighting up in the brain associated with your foot, as well as emotional areas. But what's interesting about it is you also see the same sorts of activity even if you start thinking about stepping on a tack.
Really?
And you start anticipating it. And this is where I think it becomes very relevant for economic decision making. because when you're anticipating something bad, whether it's rational or irrational doesn't really matter. The point is you start ramping up activity in these fear and pain circuits, and that fundamentally causes a type of decision-making associated with pulling back and retreat.
And some of that is evident to people. I mean, you're reminding me of a time when I lost a job and a psychiatrist told me at one point after I'd had terribly no success in getting reemployed that, in fact, it's probably a bad idea to do job interviews at a time when you are really stressed and really anxious because the people can sense your desperation and they kind of go, why would we want this person? He's desperate for a job. And I thought that was a really fascinating insight, but it sounds like you can actually even measure some of that stuff.
Yeah, and some of the experiments that we've done show that there are clearly different types of people, you know, whether it's the state of mind at the time they do the scan or whether they're just fundamentally different all the time. You can see differences in essentially the rate that activity ramps up in these fear and pain circuits well in advance of the thing that people are afraid of. And, you know, we kind of categorize them into essentially procrastinators and extreme dreaders, the worry warts. And what's interesting is that the worry warts, you know, ramp up this activity in the brain, and that, you know, takes energy. It takes energy away from what I would call good decision making.
And so the consequence at the very least of this economic downturn is that people's decisions are going to be bathed in stress, that we need to deal with the stress as much as we deal with all the other economic consequences. It's something that is true on a broad scale as well as individually. It sounds like what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of a positive feedback loop, you know, where the more people that are stressed around you, it just kind of feeds into the phenomena and tends to run away.
We're all in this together, Dr. Gregory Burns, who's the director of the Center for Neuropolicy at Emory University and is the author of Iconoclast, A Neuroscientist Reveals How to Think Differently. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
And our favorite worry wart here on The Takeaway is Femi Okay with the headlines.
Hello there. The time is 21 minutes to the top of the hour.